Hi ho, schön, dass ihr alle wieder da seid, hier an Tag 3 auf dem 22. Easter Egg. Der nächste Talk wird auf Englisch gehalten. Vielleicht gibt es im Stream ja auch eine Übersetzung nach Deutsch. Yes, I get the answer. Yes, now I will switch to English. So, the next talk will be about speedrunning laptop development for a non-profit organization. Therefore, I want to introduce to you Philipp from the non-profit organization Computer Tour. Please give him a warm welcome.
Thanks for the nice introduction. Good morning, evening, or whatever, Easter Hack. Let's start. Who am I? My name is Philipp Skotnik. I'm 25 years old, living in Chemnitz, Saxony, and I'm a volunteer for the Chemnitz branch of the Computer Tour. Now that we talk about me, let's talk about Computer Tour. We are a German non-profit organization, or as we call it in Germany, eingetragener gemeinnütziger Verein, which is currently spread across 10 locations in Germany and was originally founded in 2016. So we are almost 10 years old. And our purpose is enabling participation in a world that gets more and more digital. You all probably heard about the Koalitionsverhandlungen, so to say, in Germany right now. And they want to make more and more offerings regarding Behördenserviceleistungen, don't put the word in English, sorry, as a digital-only service, which, as we can probably predict, leads to some problems. What if a person can't afford a laptop? What if they simply don't know how to use one? And at least the first problem, we are trying to counter a bit by refurbishing laptops and desktop PCs that get donated to us by private persons who simply bought a new laptop, big companies that replace their whole fleet, or even public government offices that simply don't have a use for their old devices anymore and decided to donate them to us. And we can then refurbish them and give them away to other people that can't afford one or other non-profit organizations who might need a laptop, for example, for a workshop or for some other purpose. Our current workflow is basically organized in 4 steps. We first have the intake, where we inspect the laptops for obvious signs of damage, for example, like a broken screen or broken hinges, that basically prevents us from refurbishing them with an acceptable amount of effort. Speaking of refurbishment, that's the next step. We fix small issues with the device, replace old hard drives with SSDs because SSDs are faster and enabled us to give them a little speed boost or upgrade the RAM, for example, if a laptop only has 4 gigabytes. Because today, even a normal Linux distro, like Linux Mint, uses a bit more than 4 gigabytes. If you, for example, have a web browser open with 2 tabs and in parallel work on a document. And the third step, which I will talk about more in detail later, is the OS deployment. We at the Computer Tour use Linux Mint. Why are we using Linux Mint? Because it has an user interface that looks similar to Windows, hence making the adaptation for receipts a bit easier. And to facilitate that, we include a self-written handbook with every installation where the users can learn about how to use Linux Mint. And of course, we want to know where our laptops go, so we have an inventory system. Every laptop gets an inventory ID and is registered in the system, so we know at which point in time how many laptops do we have available, and how many desktops we have available, and of course, other devices. And our policy is, as soon as it has an inventory number, it is basically ready to use, ready to give out. The problem with the third step, which is our most time-consuming, currently we install Linux Mint manually on every single system that is received. That means booting the live USB, installing the Linux OS in OEM mode. OEM mode in Linux Mint basically enables us to pre-install Linux Mint and let the user themselves, as soon as we give it out, create their own user profile, create their own password, etc. It's basically like if you unbox a PC and the Windows first start wizard. It's the same, but with Linux Mint. And then, of course, we apply customizations, for example, pre-installing useful software like VLC Media Player, pre-install language packs for other languages like Ukraine, and so on and so on. And this basically is the most time-consuming part in our process. And now to the fix of the problem. We have a solution consisting of three open-source softwares. Proxmox virtualization environment, basically the hypervisor that is the basis of it all. OpenVRT, which is used, for example, in Freifunk. Here it acts as sort of our virtual router, handing out DHCP addresses, and basically isolating the network so the solution can be used no matter where we are currently. And the star of the show, Fog Project. So, what did we do? I grabbed a random one U server, which we had laying around in the Chaos Treff where I am most of my time, and installed Proxmox on it, deployed the OpenVRT VM, and of course the main show of the star, a Fog Project VM. And the goal, creating a plug-and-play figgamabob that can be used to mass deploy laptops with little effort needed. Now, a brief, how did I configure it? First, a disclaimer, this isn't a one-to-one guide. It's just a short abstraction. And if you plan to replicate it, there might be some circumstances which make your configuration different. First of all, Proxmox was configured to have two virtual bridges, basically two virtual network interfaces, one for the install network, and one WAN interface for the uplink. The storage was a bit overkill, but I used what we had, two SSDs in the software RAID 0, to store the images, to store the OS. Yeah, and some setup tasks like updating Proxmox. I automated myself a bit with the help of the Proxmox VE helper script project. So one down, two good to go. The OpenVRT VM was added to both bridges in Proxmox. That ran as a DHCP client, as this is sort of the most easy way we can adapt to different networks. LAN was set to basically a /24, in this case 192.168.10.whatever. And for enabling PXE boot, of course the relevant DHCP options, 66, the boot server, and 67, the filename, were set accordingly. And now to the star, the Fog Project VM. The basis was a simple Debian 12, that was installed and connected only to the LAN bridge, to the install LAN. On top, Fog Project and dependencies were installed with help of the instructions provided by the Fog Project read key, which sadly are a bit outdated. And for this specific setup, I didn't use the capabilities of Fog to provide DHCP or DNS directly as OpenWRT does it for me. And to make it a bit easier for us, I tweaked the IPXE menu settings to ignore the password requirement, because as a default, Fog project has a password which needs to be entered when deploying a system. So what the fuck? The laptop I picked as a reference device was set up manually, and as a base, the time was stopped. It took around 45 minutes of manual labor to install the OS and apply the customizations. This reference device was then registered to the Fog project server in order to capture the image. And after the image capture, which took around 10 to 15 minutes regarding network and storage speeds, we were too good to go. And now that the preparations are done, let's deploy all the laptops. And for that, I have a short presentation video prepared. Let's hope it plays. This video is sped up to around 600% because I don't want to bore you all with a 2:30 video. And as we see, we basically boot into PXE and the image gets applied from network and deployed. And that's basically all. Now the system can be rebooted into Linux Mint. We can get it inventorized, and then it's ready. And of course, I also want to show you how we capture the image, because Fog Project does two clever things. First of all, it boots into the PXE environment, shrinks the file system automatically, so it doesn't capture a whole lot of garbage, but only the size it really needs, which makes the image size quite compact. For this laptop, we came around 8 GB of the image. And the capture, as I said earlier, took around 10 minutes. So, now that we did view how it's done, I of course want to talk about some learnings, because every project, every, you know, goal comes with some learnings which you can take and improvise on further and further iterations. While testing, we had some issues with some laptops that didn't boot correctly after the image deployment. This was primarily a config error on my side, because Fog Project has the option to directly chainload CRUB after it's finished deploying. That, in our case, led to some errors. How did I fix it? Well, code rebooting the laptops and modifying the imaging parameters to basically do a full reboot and not only chain load CRUB. And from 45 minutes per laptop deployment for one single laptop, we are now down to under 10 minutes per laptop deployment. And the biggest time-saving factor, we can parallelize. For example, we deployed around 8 laptops at once, and they all took around 10 minutes as a whole, instead of 45 minutes each. And when we get around 140 laptops from a government office, you can calculate this saves quite a bit of time. And I have already started working on a version 2 of the appliance, which is currently being set up, and will integrate an apt cache, so it acts as a proxy and enables us to do the updates offline for Linux Mint and the Ubuntu packages, because Linux Mint is an Ubuntu-based distribution. Still, though, we have to update the image regularly, because the image is being captured, for example, starting April, and then updates come, and more updates come, and the image gets outdated. And that, thus I am updating the images once per quarter. You might want to do it more often, you might want to do it later. It kind of depends on which distribution you are using. For example, if you use a rolling release distribution like Arch Linux or NixOS, you might want to do it more often. And for example, if you use Debian Stable, which updates packages more slowly, you can, for example, update it once every half year. So, of course, some thanks to all the involved developers for the FOG project, Proxmox and OpenWRT projects, Chris Trent from the Computer Tool for proofreading the presentation slides, and the whole Computer Tool team for providing this project with hardware, for example, the SSDs and some RAM upgrades for my server, which I used, and of course, many, many more people, for example, Matthias, who thankfully introduced me earlier today and helped me with the presentation a bit. And that's all for my side.
Hey, thank you. This was quite speedrunning talk, as you told you. So we have about 10 minutes for questions. Will I see any hands? Yo, right in front, I will come to you.
Yeah, customization like language and stuff, is that in the image already, or do you do it in the on the laptop afterwards somehow, or how do you do that?
Basically, for the reference laptop, we have a script, our finisher script, which we used in the past for every laptop, which then applies our customizations. And as I applied the customizations before the image, those are already now included with the image, so we don't need to rerun it.
Do the laptops that you deploy have to be the same in terms of hardware and memory size and various drivers? Is that... Yeah.
That is the good thing about Linux. As the kernel is universal, the image is also universal. We deployed it around on 10 different types of laptops already with no adjustments needed. So, one image for all.
So, thanks. Do you see any further hands? Hands in the audience? Unfortunately, yes, here.
Just a short question. What do you do with no Ethernet connection on the laptop, like the new stuff?
Well, that's the one trick, sadly. Some laptops, for example, support PXE over an adapter, a dock. But for some, we can use this image manually for deploying it to a dummy laptop or a sacrificial one, which basically we install the SSD into and then move it to the final destination.
So USB Ethernet is not the working thing? Or?
That depends on the laptop's firmware.
Okay.
Some support USB Ethernet adapters or PXE through docks or simple dongles. Some don't, sadly.
How many devices do you deploy per month?
Well, we deployed around 60 to 70 since we have this server in place. Of course, it's dependent on the intake, how many laptops do we even receive from business customers or private users who donated to us. But we can deploy it quite fast, and also due to the current circumstances, we give them out as fast.
Does the image automatically adjust to the hardware, to the hard disk size?
Yes, it does. That's the good thing about how FOG project captures the image. It basically shrinks before imaging and adjusts after the imaging to the disk size, and So we can use it on various hard drive sizes.
So, any further questions from the audience? Okay, in the first row, perhaps in the meantime I can take an own question. How do you deal with broken parts? Because used laptop, it's always a single piece and has a history, and it's also crowded with firmware in different chips, not only on the BIOS, but on different parts for even SSD and so on, that during their lifetime they had updated or had received some updates, and some parts didn't had received it during the further life because it was blocked because of administration and so on. How do you deal with it?
To Matthias' question, we basically, in the refurbishment phase, before deployment, apply all manufacturer-provided firmware updates. But as we are only running on volunteers, and every volunteer may or may not have the time, sometimes firmware updates slip through. But we are making an effort to update them to the latest available, for example, BIOS version.
I maintain a few Mint installations myself for friends, and I find that having to go to these people for the release upgrades, which of course is a big operation that should have some oversight, that is something I would like to avoid having to do. And on the other hand, I don't think that Mint is so much better in terms of being close to Windows than other, say, KDE-based distributions. So I'm looking for a rolling release Linux that is not very risky and can be deployed to private people. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, basically, Debian, for example, has the testing or SID branches, which update quite frequently. And I would recommend using the testing branch so you don't get the alpha packages, which might or might not have some issues, but testing might be reasonable.
Thank you, Philip. So I will look through the audience. Any more raised hands? Any more details unknown, or I will come back to the stage. And I think we can thank you very much again for your talk.